Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
Amen. So today I want to talk about living faith. Living faith. This phrase is a two-sided coin for us because we have a living faith within us. A faith that is living, breathing, growing. It's dynamic. And it is so powerfully within us, this living faith, that it causes us to respond, to engage. We have a living faith within us. And I believe today, as we talk about what that means, that God wants to spark a fire back again in each of us. Because there are times where, whether because the seasons of life, or maybe we've been at this for a while, or we've never started this journey before, faith feels more like coals gone cold. Or maybe we've kind of shunted it to a fire pit in this aspect of our life, and we're not quite sure how it fits when we drive to work or we sit around a dinner table. And so faith becomes more like background music. But God wants to encourage you today. It is alive and available to you, and he wants you to grasp that life in a new way. And because we have this living faith within us, we must make every effort to be living faith out. Because what good is a fire if it doesn't have kindling and oxygen, if the flames aren't encouraged to grow? So because of this inspiring faith within us, we then look at ways to live faith out. And I believe that God wants to encourage us today, not that we are innately wrong or lazy or doing something wrong, but that there is a new way for us to add things to our faith so that that life we carry can come to life for others in all areas of our life. So let's talk about living faith within. Faith is not a plot point on the timeline of our lives that we can point to and say, on this day, at this time, I accepted Christ. That was faith. It's not static like that. Faith is not a byproduct of calling yourself a Christian. I have the identity of a Christian, so yeah, I guess therefore I have faith. Nor is it something containable that we turn off and on because we're acting spiritual. I have faith when I praise the Lord. I have faith when I pray to him. No, faith is an uncontrollable, alive force within you that's like a fire. And it sparks. The second you accept Christ into your life, something clicks. It sparks and ignites and it burns and it warms and it consumes and it catches everything. That is the faith you have within you. And I think it's God's heart for us to grasp this again, to feel that again in our guts. You have a living faith within you. Faith is a force to be reckoned with. And it is all these things, not because we do all the right things, because we always feel good, because we always feel faithful, but because it is founded on a living God. We have a living faith from a living God. I want to look at our passage in 2 Peter 1 and how this explores our living faith from a living God. We're going to take a look first at verses 3 through 4. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. So if you have your Bibles, feel free to turn them on or turn to the page. But the words will also be on the screen. So we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Talking about God, Peter says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped corruption in the world caused by evil desires." our God is alive, and he has given us everything we need to live this life. And not on our own account, but because of who he is, because he's invited us to participate in his divine nature, because of the promises he has set forth, we can claim God is alive within us. Everything about our faith is living. We claim the name of a living God that we know is so much more than a deity in the sky or some cloud that we pray to. He is the creator of life. He breathes life into everything on this earth. And we know that Jesus Christ was living, not just a man who lived in history, but God and man incarnate living upon this earth. If he was just another cool guy who existed, we'd have lines about him in a history textbook, about the things that he did, some of the bold claims he made. But Jesus is so contentious, so divisive, and so offensive because he is the living God incarnate, because there's so much more than just air in his lungs, but the fire of the living God within him. It changed the world. And many of us have experienced how it can change our lives. That is because he is alive. And we know who Jesus is, and we know who God is because of this word. This is what our faith is founded on. We seek this as an authority as we go to our day-to-day lives. And it is so much more than text on pages bound together. It is a sword. How many of us in this room have read this book and had words and phrases and promises stand out to you, set you free, change your life? Give you something tangible almost to hold on to when nothing else made sense. This is a living word. I love books. It is a goal in my life to have a library in my home. When I have my own home, I want to have a room that is wall to wall, floor to ceiling, full of books that I've read. Not just so I can say, look at all the books I've read, but because I love them. Books inspire me. They challenge me. They change the way I see the world. I love getting lost in fantasy worlds of nonfiction. I love books. But no other book is alive like this one. Because when things in life hit us, this hits back. I don't care who wrote whatever book you're reading. No other book will do that for you. It could be a Christian book. It could be a really powerful set of poems. They could be very beautiful and inspiring. But this is the living word of God, and it hits life back when it gets you down. And because we have a living God, a living word, we also have a living spirit within us. We talk about the Holy Spirit as something you receive when you accept Christ. And when we baptize people, we pray for a filling of the Spirit. And that's because we believe it's not just some mark that appears on you so that when people look at you, they know you belong to God, though it does claim you to the Lord. But more than just some kind of birthmark that suddenly appears, it is a living thing within you. The Bible tells us it creates fruit, that it changes us, that it guides us, gives us counseling when we need it, when we don't know what to do. And as many of us have experienced, it can even produce things in us that we know we have no capability of producing. Being able to speak words of healing that actually heal, being able to say things that we shouldn't know. The Holy Spirit is alive in us. But like any good fire, this life can easily be smothered. It can easily start to die out or dull or be cornered off instead of being the blazing fire it wants to be. And I want to ask, where in your life would you like your faith to come alive again? Maybe you feel on fire and you're like, Steph, I'm already there. That's great. There's more. But where would you like to see your faith come alive? To feel that burning within, to feel consumed by the greatness and glory of God, by the truth in his word. Because I believe that if we ask today, that match will light those coals again. And you will feel again what you first felt when you entered a relationship with God. As I was preparing this word, one of the first things I had to do was ask for forgiveness. Because as I was reading this passage, I realized there's so many areas where my faith has become background music, where it should more be like a fire. And you might think that's a bit odd, considering faith is a part of my job. I work for the church. And it is, it's a part of everything I do in my work. But there's often times when I'm with my friends, when I'm at home, when I'm traveling into work, where it's just on the back burner. And I was struck by verse 9 of this passage where Peter talking about the people who have forgotten the life of their faith, who haven't pursued this living faith. He says, but whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. And I read that and I realized when faith becomes background music, that is when we've forgotten. Because if we stop and remember who exactly God is and what exactly he's done, that would light us up. And I asked God for forgiveness. I said, Lord, like, start a new life of faith in me again. And I remembered what it felt like at 16 when I was in a field with someone else's Bible writing in the margins because I was so overwhelmed by God. Because for the first time, it made sense to me that when the Bible said God sent his son to die for the world, that I was included in that. That even if it was just me, he still would have done it because he loved me that much. I never claimed that love before. I never understood it as something that belonged to me. And the moment I did, everything lit up. The moment I did, everything changed. And I felt something uncontrollable start inside of me, a new life. And so I remembered that as I was preparing this word. And I realized, man, there are places where that life has died out, has dulled. And so I sought after it again. And I said, God, bring life back into my faith in these areas. I believe that if you ask for it now, God will ignite afresh your faith in whatever part of your life that is for, or even to take the flames to new height. Where would you like to see your faith come alive? And for this very reason, because we have this living faith, we've got to make every effort to be living faith out. We've got to be living faith out. Not because we need to start making this a religion where we tick boxes and achieve God's love, but because we become so overwhelmed by what's inside of us that it burns everything in the best way possible. Because if our faith is like a fire, then we have to make effort to add kindling, to give it space so that oxygen can fan the flames, to stoke it and poke at it. We make every effort for the sake of the living faith, not to achieve, but to feel it more, to see it grow within us. Faith is so alive. We claim to be people of a living God who knew a living Christ, who study a living word, who have a spirit living within us. So why wouldn't we live it out? Such stopping short if we just stop within. But when we live it out, we become people who do and don't just talk about it. I'm so sick of just talking about what Christians should do. I want to just do it. I want to just do it. And I would be amiss today if we just talked about, because I could talk for hours about how alive and powerful the faith each of you have or can have is. Really, I could go on a proper rant. But that would be pointless if we just talked about it. We have to do it. Maybe it's just me, but I often sit in meetings. I'm learning the skill of patience. But sometimes I sit in meetings and it gets to a point where I'm like, all right, we've talked it out. Let's do. What can we do? And I just want to end the conversation and go. I think we need to have that same sense of urgency with our faith. I don't want to just read the word. I don't want to just sit in Sunday services and talk about how we should be who God is. I want to do it. I want to chase it. I want to have it. I want to go for it. And how do we do this? We have a really great example of what to do, with our living faith to make sure we are living it out in the rest of our passage in 2 Peter 1. I'm going to be reading verses 5 through 8. For this very reason, for the reason of your living faith, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this isn't a step-by-step. I haven't just given you a list that now this will help you achieve holiness. And it's not a total list of the things that God can add to our faith, that we can add to our faith. There are lots of lists in the Bible that talk about spiritual fruits, about characteristics of Christ that we can mirror. But this is a good place to start, especially if we're going to want to leave here not just having talked about what we can do, but doing it. I think it would be amiss to just run over this list and say, crack on, good luck, guys. But I'd really like to take some time to think through together what these things could look like if I were to add this to my faith. So let's look at these things, see what we can take up in our hands. And as we go through these things, maybe something stands out to you, or maybe something else came to mind that wasn't listed here that you think, I want a bit more of that in my life. I want to see myself or my faith grow in that way. I'd encourage you as we go through these things to think about what this could be for you and your faith. So the first thing we see here is goodness. Some versions say moral excellence. So we add to our faith goodness in various ways. One could be by, maybe you have a decision at work. When you have a decision at work, right, you have what your bosses think is right. Your bosses think is good and just and moral in the decision you should make. You have maybe what your team or your coworkers think is right. Then you have what you think is right. Adding goodness and moral excellence to your faith can simply mean that every time you have one of those decisions, you take it first and foremost to God and say, God, what do you say is right? What do you say is moral and just? Or maybe as you talk to your kids around the table, there are so much in this world about what is right. So many things vying for our next generation's attention. And having conversations about, what do you guys think about this? Well, this is what we know God says is good. So how does that relate to this? How does that conflict with this? And not shying away from those conversations, but making every effort to add goodness to our faith by involving our faith in these times where goodness is a decision. Another thing we can add to our faith is knowledge. We can do this by owning our understanding of the Bible, you know, not just taking my word for it. I would be really upset if every time I spoke, you guys just said, Steph's right, great. Like, I want you to be fact-checking me. Honestly, I want you to be going back to the word that I said I read and make sure I read it right. And if you disagree, like, that's totally fine. That's totally fine. I am human. I am not the end-all be-all. So pursue knowledge for yourself. Look at the word of God. See what it has to say for you. Read about the history behind it, the context of who it was written to. Learn from that. And seek out people with different opinions. We will do a disservice to ourselves if we become closed-minded and bubbled Christians. And you don't have to leave every conversation agreeing with them, but I guarantee you, every time you enter a pressing, difficult conversation, your faith will grow. Your mind may or may not change, but your faith will grow because you will have to rethink what you thought you knew. You'll have to own it in a new way. A really practical example of this is when I first decided I wanted to go into ministry with my life, one of the first things I knew I had to do is I had to go back to school. Because I came from a background where my pastors and community leaders did nothing to challenge their own opinions. And the opinions they taught were very harmful, very closed-minded and prejudiced. And it affected the way I saw God, the way I saw myself. I saw the damage it had done to me. And so I knew I never wanted to put someone else in that position. So I was going to make every effort to, with my faith and with my calling, add knowledge as much as I could. So I went and got another degree. I could have gotten a master's, which would have came with a much nicer title, but I went and got a second undergraduate because that had the courses necessary to teach me what I needed to teach to be the leader I wanted to be. And every time I had an assessment, I chose the hardest essay question I could find, the one that I knew nothing about or the one that I had too strong of an opinion on. And it wasn't because I'm a nerd and I like being in the library, which is partially true, but it's also because, I like studying, it's also because I knew I would do a disservice to myself, my faith, what I believed about God into everyone else I would speak to about God if I didn't challenge what I held most dear. If there was some kind of element of my faith or my belief system that I said, I am not willing to talk about that, or I know for sure what that means, I was in the wrong. So I made every effort, even though it meant I had to start essays weeks and weeks in advance, even though it meant I read books instead of reading chapters, because it was important to me, to my faith, as I tried to learn more about the mystery of God, being in awe of him, worshiping him, that I also added knowledge. And it only enriched my faith. I left theology school with a lot more questions than answers, but I also worship God on a way deeper level. It added to my faith. And when I read a theology book, I get excited. I feel my faith come alive. You can add to your faith self-control. This can be as simple as if you're in an argument, saying, whoa, I'm gonna wait before that comes out of my mouth. I'm gonna rethink that and think about what else I can say. Or if you're struggling with something that feels so far out of your control, it's pulling someone into that conversation and saying, hey, I want this to change. I want to see this stop. I want to do something new here, but I can't do it myself. Can you hold me accountable? Can you help me when I feel like I can't say no? Can you ask me how it's going? We can add that to our faith. We can be living out our faith by adding endurance, pressing our shoulders to doors that the world or others tell us are closed, but God has promised will open. If you have a word from the Lord today that you feel like you are just running into a closed door over and over, I want to encourage you, add to your faith endurance. Don't give up hope. Lean your shoulder into that door and hit it again, because you have a living faith inside of you, because it's not by your own strength that you're enduring, but God. Or if you find yourself struggling to find a reason to face another day because the days are just so hard, add to your faith endurance by clinging to the living word and the promises it holds for us. We can add to our faith godliness by seeking to know him. If we say are Christians or little Christ, as it's literally translated, well, we gotta know who Christ is, what he did. As simple and cliche as it sounds, what would Jesus do? Sometimes I think I need to start wearing a bracelet that says that again. To just remind myself, to add to my faith, yes, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I don't doubt for a second what he's done for me, but am I adding godliness in my day-to-day life? Am I reflecting Christ? Well, get a group together, have a Bible study, talk about what that looks like, and then how we can make it happen. We can add to our faith affection. If you've had someone this week who's maybe mentioned in passing, oh man, it's been a rough week. I had this thing on at school or at work, and I was really anxious about it. Or I had the best week this week. Adding affection to your faith, living out your faith in that way, is simply following up on that. Sending them a text, saying hello, saying, hey, I remember you mentioning that. How's that going? Are you doing all right? Tell me more. Or if you see your neighbor struggling to bring their groceries into the house, I know sometimes we like to live in a bubble and be really quiet and not bother anyone, but maybe it's just saying, you know, hey, can I help out? How's it going? Do you need help with anything? Showing affection, care, compassion. And finally, adding to our faith, love. Forgiving people who may not deserve it. Asking God every day. There are people in my life that every time I remember what they've done to me and I feel that hurt and anger and bitterness, I have to ask again, God, help me forgive. Forgiving, maybe not because they deserve it, or maybe not because they've even apologized, but because you've been forgiven, because that is adding to your faith. Or finding out what the people closest to you, what makes them feel valued, and then doing it. Maybe it's a nice word or a thoughtful gift or just spending time with them. That is us adding love to our faith. It's really quite simple adding these things. And you don't have to do them all at once. Just pick one. Pick one. We must live out our faith because it is a living faith based on a God who's given us all we need and who by verse 8 doesn't expect perfection, but we see it saying, as you get these qualities in increasing measure. Some translations say, as these things grow within you even more. You are not meant to achieve all these things, but pursue them. And God will give you everything you need. What can you add to your faith? What stood out to you? What's come to mind? What can you choose to add to your faith? And how can you make every effort tomorrow to do that? Once we've left this holy spiritual place and the real world kicks in, how can you make every effort tomorrow to add blank to your faith? I really want to encourage all of us in this, and I'm accepting this challenge as well, because again, I don't want to just talk about what we should do. I want to do it. A living faith is in you. So let's be people living our faith, so consumed in awe, driven and empowered that we are doers and not just hearers of the word. That we don't just say we love people, but we really love them. That everything catches ablaze with the life and hope and truth of God. That everything is on fire and it changes the way that we think, the way that we speak, the way that we live our lives. We claim to have a faith that changed our lives. So let it change your life. Don't just talk about having a faith that can change the world. Let it change your world. And it doesn't have to change everything at once. Start with something small. Start with what's right in front of you and make every effort tomorrow. That's all you got to do. That's all we have to do. Because the living faith within us will do the rest. It will take on the world. It will give us everything we need. It will help us participate with a living God whose spirit is within us. And I believe that if we take this faith and we let it change our lives like we said it has, if we let God ignite us again, that our town will change. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't come to Watford to work here because I loved Watford. In fact, I was like, this is a bit rougher on the edges of this town. But the more time I've spent here, I have fallen in love with this town. And there is something in me that is not a fantasy I've built up for myself, but a word that God has put in me that I really believe this town, and I don't know why, but this town is the starting point for a revival. There is something in this town. When I walk those streets, and I don't know what it is, I couldn't tell you, but there is something that makes me utterly convinced that Watford is the spoke of a wheel of change, and that if we engage with it, these streets will flood with God's life and spirit, and this country will notice something. I believe Watford has been built up like a bonfire ready to be lit. And if all of us carry this fire of the living faith we have available to us, and we let it change us so that it consumes us and it spreads, it will change our neighborhoods, and they will also carry this fire, and then the bonfire will catch, and this town will blaze for the glory of God, and it will change things. Honestly, I believe that. I may not see it in my lifetime, but I believe with everything in me that it will happen. So I'm going to make every effort to add to my faith, because I believe I have the living faith inside of me, and because I want to see that fire consume so much more than myself and my own life. I want to see other people's lives change. I want to see this town change so that this country can change. We have a living faith within us, a living faith. So let's make every effort to be living faith out. I'm going to invite the band to come up, and they're going to start to play some worship songs. And I just want you to take a moment to think about where you would like God to make your faith come alive again. Come alive again, because I really believe that he can fan those flames, spark something incredible, and you can be as amped up as I am, because I'm real amped up right now. And what would you like to add to your faith? Is it something that's been listed in this scripture, or something else that you think, I want to be more like that? I want to reflect Christ in that way. Really think about that and hold on to one thing that you can start on. Don't try to take on the world, just take on one thing. And then think about one thing you can do as you leave this place, or tomorrow, Tuesday when you're going to work or school, Wednesday when you're getting groceries, Thursday when you're on the dinner table, and on, what can I do that day to make every effort to add it? Just one practical thing. And then rely on the living faith within you. So let's take time to reflect on those things. I'm going to pray for us. Lord, we thank you for giving us a faith that is not just meant to be a point in our life, but a living fire within us, a force to be reckoned with. And we trust what your word says, that we have everything we need through you. And that we can call upon you and call upon this living faith, make effort and see things grow. And so, God, I pray right now for anyone who needs that spark of life, right now, Holy Spirit, that you would ignite them within. That when they hear the words living faith, they would feel the life start to ignite. And I pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment as we seek to see what we can add to our faith, that you would place something on our hearts and minds that we can't shake, and that you would show us the next step to use to make every effort in the coming days. God, ultimately, this is your word and your promises. And so we come before you, God, and say, have your way. Move in our hearts and minds. Don't let us leave here the same. For your glory, for the sake of the faith that has changed our lives. Change our lives, God, in your name.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.